Men of God, arise as a PPK, priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family. The king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join me, Apostle Gerald Benton, as I encourage, lead, and teach men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a priest, prophet, and king. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. No, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you actually look at this broadcast, how are you doing? How are you doing? So you can, as you can see the title, Because He Loves Me. Yesterday and today, well, this morning, I just started realizing how much God really and truly loves me. And when you when we hear the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, he loved the world. He loved us enough that he would give his only begotten son. And so that it just kept playing to me, kept playing. And then I just started realizing, understanding that type of love, understanding what he means when he's asking us to love. When we read the love scriptures, when, you know, love doesn't keep no record of wrong, or love unconditionally, when we start looking at these things and realizing how important love is, and the enemy literally tries to steal that, come at that at a young age, right? Because what he hits you with is abandonment, rejection, disappointment, abuse, all different types of things that literally come against the ability to love or understand the God love that he literally shows us every single day. And so this morning I was sitting here and I was just having a moment with God and just wanting to really get a deeper understanding. And so he took me back through my journey. And then if you know me, I'm always going back through my journey and realizing where I went wrong, where the love, where I was supposed to understand love and receive love, I really didn't get it. Okay. And so when I realized what I thought love was, I was already into perversion. I was already into lust. And so the understanding what love is, it was different to me. And so it didn't happen until started become getting delivered and started severing the ties between lust and perversion and generational curses that have been passed down. And so my wife really and truly played an important role in interceding for me, really pressing into the Holy Spirit to find these little things that are locked me in, that will cause me to not have the ability to show love, receive love, understand love, things that has caused me to literally be bound. And so I thank her for that. And as I was going through my deliverance process, going through the stripping of what I thought love was, and then realizing, you know, how much God really loves me. See, when we look at people and we say these things, well, he don't love me or she don't love me, you might not understand that. They might not even understand what love really is. You know, I thought love was a take situation. It was never a give. It was never a sacrifice. It was never I'll do this for you because I love you this much. I didn't look at it like that. So there's a lot of people that's out there that have dealt with the rejection, abandonment, all of these different issues. And so if they're dealing with these different issues and you're looking for someone to say, oh, I love you, or show you love and affection, and they don't even know how to do it. They just don't know how to do it. It's not that they don't know how, it's that the enemy has literally blocked it. The enemy has literally handcuffed them to a place where they don't understand it. They don't know how to allow it to go. And so the only thing that they do know, because they've been freely doing it, is perversion, you know, is lust. Because the fornication as a child, as a young adult, the fornicating. So when we start thinking about using the word, oh, I love you. What does that really mean? What does that really mean? Is it a worldly thing that you're using it because you're trying to get something? Because that's what I was doing it for. I was using, oh, girl, I love you. Why? Because I wanted something. It was always a take situation. So when we get into these situations, and men, we get in these situations, women, we get in these situations, and then we look at the spouse and we say, well, they don't know how to do this, or they don't know how to love me, or they don't show me any love. They don't show me any love and affection. And it's something that, you know, and I'm saying this because I really realized that I'm always having to go back and check myself. And this is one of these check moments. For myself, like, I gotta ask my wife, am I showing you love and affection? Am I loving you the way that you're supposed to be loved? It does it look like I'm willing to give up everything for you to show you how much I love you? This is something that I have to work on. This ain't something that is just gonna come naturally. And see, a lot of us want things to come naturally for people. And how does it come naturally if it's never been taught to them, if it's never been exposed to them, if it's never been shown to them? Now, I can say my wife showed me unconditional love. She loved me through some of the hardest times. She loved me through some of the most disappointing times in our marriage, and to show me what unconditional love was. So I can't say I've never seen what unconditional love looks like, because she demonstrated it. Now, was it easy? Probably not. Did she want to do it? Probably not. But she did, because she understood that it was an assignment to unlock something that was going to be needed down the road, because it was God's will. If you want my perfect will, this is right here. This is the perfect will. This is what I need for you to do right now. This is the assignment you have to go through right now. Because if you want my perfect will, this is what this has to do. And so in my mind, I'm going back through all of these times of where I felt like I was unloved. And not from my wife, because it was a time where she didn't love me, but she probably didn't like me. I'm sure of that. There was times when she probably just flat out did not like me. I didn't like her. So there was times when bump the love. I don't like you. So if I don't like you, I ain't trying to love you. But the Bible doesn't even say that. It says we're supposed to love one another. It doesn't even matter. It didn't say we're supposed to love them because, you know, that what they did to us. We're supposed to forgive them and love them through it. And so when we start looking at the ability to love or the inability to love, we have to look at the background, the history of it, where does it come from, and actually ask Holy Spirit, and because you're going to ask the person, and the person ain't going to be able to give you no answer. My wife would give me, she would ask me questions. I don't have the answer. Why? Because I don't know. I don't know. I did not know. So when we're talking about how do we get back into this true love, kind of love that God is truly intended for his creation, for his sons and daughters, what it was supposed to look like. How do we get back to it? We get back to it because we have to understand that there's a cry out. Man, there was a cry. Listen, in Psalm 91 in verse 14 and 15, it says, because he loves me. And see, I had to get to this place and this understanding of how much God loves me. Like, even in my hardest place, in my darkest moments, he was still loving me. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, check this out, I will rescue him. Listen, check this out. I will rescue him. When I realized and I got delivered from abandonment, I got delivered from rejection, I got delivered from self-sabotage. I got delivered from the suicidal thoughts and the drugs and the perversion and the lust and the perversion. And then I started realizing what true love really looks like, because God had literally given me a help me that was showing me what true love really and truly looks like. So now I'm looking at something, because I'm a visual person, because now God is showing me, because he understood that his son is a visual person. So I have to actually have this to be walked out in front of him. I got to be able to have her to live a life that's conducive to him being able to see that this love can be done, that somebody can actually love you in your bad place, that somebody can actually love you through all of your mistakes, that somebody can actually love you when you have truly treated them in a bad way, but somebody can still love you. It says, pray for them that despitefully use you, not talk about them. It's not talking about them. It's praying for them. And you praying for them because you're praying for the love of God to come upon them that will break the yoke, that will break. Listen, love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. So if you actually loving them, then you're actually lying. You're literally helping them to get set free. Talking about them is not that. Talking about them is not that. So my wife, she'll tell you the story. You know, people was like, oh, I saw him out there sitting on the side of the road. I saw him over there at the dope house. I saw him over here doing this. And she was like, just pray for him. Nothing else. That's it. Nothing else. She wasn't entertaining the conversation about, yeah, he did. She didn't get into that. She said, pray for him. Or are you praying for him? That's it. Cut the conversation. There's nothing else to be talked about. Because what the enemy wants you to do is for that person to come in agreement with what these other people are saying that don't even matter in the situation. God is trying to teach us something. So in the midst of this, this thing says, I will rescue him. He rescued me. He rescued me out of the lust and the perversion. He rescued me. Listen, I had to actually understand what love was. Let me tell you something. Jesus, help me, Lord. I thank you about this one. So I was sitting in a car. I was getting ready to do landscaping, which I hated. I did not want to do it. I understood why I had to do it, but I'm not going to sit here and say, I love doing it. I love doing my own yard right now, but I didn't love doing everybody else's property and doing it. I didn't like that. Okay. So I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, okay, God, teach me how to love her like you love her. Teach me that. Show me how to do that. And he really started to showing me. He started showing me how I was actually looking at love. My love was perverted. I was only showing love when I wanted something. It wasn't an unconditional love. It was like, here's what love looks like. When you hate doing something, but someone asks you to do it because it's something that they desire to do, and you go and do it, and you do it with a smile on your face. I'm still working. I work on that. I really do. I really do. Sometimes I don't pass. Sometimes my facial expressions don't make it. And I have to work on that. So I'm not sitting here telling y'all, oh, I got it. I'm telling y'all something that I have to work on. This stuff is work for me. I come from a lot of bondage. I come from inappropriate love. I come from a place where this stuff was, I was bound by this stuff. This stuff had me, it was suffocating me. It was trying to kill me. So you got to understand where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from a place where I understood this. I'm coming from a place where I had to learn this. I had to learn this. Lord, teach me how to love my wife the way you love me. Teach me. It says, you know, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Man, that's a whole different thing. That's a sacrifice that has to be made. Was I willing to get on the cross for that? Was I willing to surrender all for that? But once I made the decision to say, bump that, teach me and I'll do it, I'm good. He started to rescue me. He started to rescue me. There was times when I was out from away from my wife and my wife was praying for me. And I can remember a gunshot being shot in a house. I had left sitting in a seat. And a drive-by came by and they shot right where I was sitting at. I came back to the house and there was a bullet hole right where my head was sitting. I'm just saying. He rescued me. And it goes on, I will rescue him. This is the Lord talking. I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges me. He acknowledges my name. Listen, people always ask me, Well, was God talking to you when you was out there? Yes. Listen, and it's a lot of people that like to use the narcissist word and throwing it out there like, oh, they just a narcissist, this, they, that, and you know, they, you know, all of this, or they don't love God. They always, listen, you don't know what they doing when they're in the car. You don't know what they're doing when they're by themselves. You don't know those moments when they just crying out. They like, Lord, I don't want to be this person. Lord, I don't feel, this is not me. You don't know those moments because they might be dealing with pride. Pride to lock them up and tell them, you better not say nothing to nobody. You keep this quiet. You don't express this to nobody. You don't tell your wife that you crying out to God. So they sitting there having these moments like, Lord, please deliver me. Lord, I just want to know you real. I just want to know you real. Show yourself to me. Show yourself through someone. Show yourself. I wasn't always not wanting to have a conversation with God. There was times when I was like, my heart was hurting. My heart was hard. My mind was just going haywire. I'm like, Lord, help me. Help me to survive. Help me get through this day. Help me get through this moment. I feel like I want to die. I feel like suicide is about to snuff me out. Help me. I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die right now. Help me. So you don't know what the cry is that these men and women are crying out for. Men are crying out so much. But they're so prideful and they're so, I got to keep this stuff bottled in because people tell them, well, you know, men don't cry. Men don't tell their business. You're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to be able to handle this. You should be able to hold this. Lies. Man, lies. You'll bust hell wide open listening to somebody give you ungodly counsel. Time out for that. It's time out for that. It's the cry out. It's to cry out. Acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge him. Call on his name. He says, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He's calling on the name of Jesus. Jesus, help me. That's all you can say. Jesus, help me. I'm calling on Jesus. Jesus, I need mental strength. Jesus, I need my heart to be healed. Jesus, I need to be delivered. Jesus, I need to love properly. I want to be able to love. So when people start talking about, oh, he don't love God. Look what he's doing. Man, that's a demonic act that the enemy has been using for a long period of time. But guess what? In a secret place, in the place where he's alone and sitting by himself and sitting in his car crying, and he's like, Jesus, you don't see those moments. Because you don't see those moments, you assume that they're not asking. You assume that they're not crying out to Jesus. You assume that. But you really don't know because you've never seen it. But God is constantly speaking to them. God is constantly calling them. Listen, Gerald, listen, I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right here. All you got to do is call on me. All you got to do is just ask. All you got to do is just seek. All you got to do is just do. And I'm like, Lord, I don't even want to go through this. Lord, I don't want to be this person. Lord, I don't want to be lying. Lord, I don't want to do pornography. Lord, I don't want to be in lust. Lord, I don't want to be in this. Help me. Help deliver me. Help set me free. Your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Father, I'm calling on the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus that sets me free, the name of Jesus that delivers. If I don't know anything, I'm just saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. There was times when the mental part of me was wanting to like literally just kill myself because I didn't feel like nobody loved me or I didn't even love myself. And I was going to, and it was like, you might as well go ahead and kill yourself because don't nobody love you. You don't even love yourself and you can't even help yourself. So you might as well go ahead and kill yourself. Those are real thoughts. Those are like real thoughts. That's not made up. Those are real thoughts. And I just said, I could only say Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 I need you. Jesus, And it says, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. The Lord said this. This is in Psalm 91. I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. So when you thinking that God is not with him while he's in his trouble, it states it right here. I will be with him in his trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, not listen, y'all didn't even catch that part. See, it's like, here I am right now today, okay? I called on him. He answered me, right? He answered me in my trouble, right? And he delivered me, huh? He delivered me, huh? He delivered me and he honored me. Now I'm in a place where he is honoring the things that I had to go through, the trouble that I had to go through, the pain that I had to go through, the disappointment, the deliverance that I had to go through, the years of suffering, the years of pain, the years of all of these things that are going through. Now it's being used as a testimony. So please don't knock somebody where they are, because God loves them. He loves them just like he loves you. He wants them to have the best and he wants to deliver them. He wants to rescue them. He wants to protect them. He wants to honor them. He wants to bring them out. So don't put your mouth and your own feelings and your emotions on what God says he's gonna do. So I'll be declaring this scripture over my spouse, over my children, over myself. Lord, you said, if I acknowledge you, and I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior, thank you for delivering me, rescuing me out of my own, out of the pits of hell. Thank you for delivering me from all of the things that plague me, all, you know, lust and perversion. Thank you for delivering me out of the hands of the enemy. Thank you for delivering me from suicide. Thank you for delivering me from a lying spirit. Thank you for delivering me from lust and perversion. Thank you for delivering me from the spirit of pride. Thank you for delivering me, Father, from the spirit of entitlement. In the name of Jesus, thank you for delivering me from mental illness. Thank you for delivering me. Inability to love. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for walking with me in my trouble. Thank you for walking with me in my darkest moments. Thank you for walking with me in my journey. Thank you for walking with me through all of the pains of my past, through the abuse and the mental, the physical and verbal abuse now. In the name of, thank you. Thank you for never letting me go. Thank you for holding my hand. Thank you for being right beside me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for telling me that I can make it. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for even giving my wife the energy and the courage to be able to do the things that she did. Now, I thank you for rescuing the other men, rescuing the other families, rescuing them, Father God. Rescue them out of the deepest, darkest places, Father God, that they have placed themselves in, Father God. Rescue them now in the name of Jesus. Let help, I declare that help is on the way. Hey. You never know who God is using to rescue somebody's life. Thank you, Yvette Benton, for rescuing me. Thank you for being used to rescue me. Thank you for being used to show me what unconditional love looks like. Thank you for being a woman that's after God's own heart, that's pursuing the perfect will of God, that's suitable, adaptable, and complementary to every aspect of my life. I thank you for being the one that God uses in the natural to help rescue me. Even when you probably didn't even want to rescue me, even when probably you didn't even want to throw me a life jacket. But because you did, I sit before you today and to be able to speak and to say these very things. So understand, you don't know. God is using people to help rescue and bring people, these men and these children into salvation. God is using it because he wants them to be able to acknowledge him. How are they going to acknowledge him if it's never been demonstrated, if it's never been modeled, if it's never been presented to them? You're the one. You're the one that's supposed to present it to them. If you're the one that say that you're saved and you're mature in your Christianity, then you're supposed to be the one to help rescue. You're the one that's supposed to show in the natural what it looks like. Not look like the world, not speak like the world, not have the mindset of the world, not have a spirit of giving up and a spirit of a quitter. Think about if Jesus would have quit on his journey to the cross. Think about it. Where will we be? So I'm here saying, he said, I will rescue him. Thank you for rescuing me. I will protect him. Thank you for protecting me. Listen, y'all, listen. Y'all, this is a declaration. When you sitting and you're looking at something and it looks nothing like what God said it was going to look like, I will be going into this right here. I know you love him, God. And you know what? My wife used to say this. I just called her. She used to say, dang, you love him. I think you love him more than you love me. You making me do all of this because you love him? Listen, I know God loves me. I know he loves me because he rescued me. He protects me. Huh? If I call on him, he gonna answer. I'm in a place where I got clarity of mind. I still work on my deliverance. I'm never gonna sit here and say, oh, well, I'm good. And you know, I don't have that. That's where I messed up before. Because when I started doing that, I get a lackadaisical spirit and a lazy spirit. And then I let my guard down. And then the enemy sneaks in. He come in to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to sift me like wheat. Not today. Not today, Satan. Not today. So I want y'all to know this, that God does love your spouse. He loves your spouse. It states it right here in Psalm 91. It says it right here, verse 14 and 15. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in his trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. These are the Lord's words. Do your words match what the word says? Because if you're saying anything contradictory to what this word is saying, you're defeating the purpose. When you say, well, he can't be delivered. Well, the doggone thing says, it says, I will be with him in trouble. If they're in some trouble and it's saying that I'm going to be with him in the trouble and I will deliver him, then that's what it would do. Are we declaring, calling God on his word? Your word says this. And I'm repeating your word. So I'm expecting that I'm expecting why he's out here in doing what he's doing in his trouble, that you're with him, Lord, that you're going to deliver him out of the troubles, out of the snares, out of the temptation, out of the lust and the perversion, out of the seducing spirit, out of the hands of the enemy, that you're going to deliver him out of it, Father, that you're protecting him from any hurt, harm, or danger, accidents, or incidents, while he's out here now. Just because he's not in the home, it don't mean you can't pray it. It doesn't mean you can't pray it. Lord, protect him. Protect him. Give him the sound mind to acknowledge you. Let the word of Jesus come out of his mouth. You start decreeing and declaring a thing. You start speaking over your spouse. You start speaking over your children. Man, you can come out of this. I'm living proof. Come on out. I know it seems like nobody don't love you because they're looking at your situation. But God loves you. While you out there, God is still protecting you. God is still talking. Acknowledge his conversation. I was trying to ignore it. But then I got to a point where I just had to acknowledge it. I had to have this conversation. Have a conversation with God. Have the conversation. You'll find yourself wanting to be set free. It brings a level of liberty to you. So don't get caught in your pains of your past. Don't get caught into shame and embarrassment of the things that you've done and the things that you said and how you treated someone. You know, listen, love does not hold a record of wrong. Love covers a multitude of sin. Understand this. And so the enemy will cause you to say or have you to think that you going back home is not a good option. It's the best option. It's the best option. Because what he wants you to do is stay out there in the world. And he wants you to be in sin. He wants you to stay in disobedience and rebellion. And then he can use that stuff against you. He's a legalist. So there's a thing that I call, listen, go to my book. It's called A Turnaround. And you will hear some of the stories that I've talked about in the coming back, in the turning around from these things and getting the scriptures to be able to help you to stand on. Because this scripture right here, I want every man that out there in the world that's feeling like nobody loves them, that nobody cares, I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He loves you. He's stating it in Psalm 91 and 14 to 15. He's telling you that he loves you. He will rescue you. He will protect you. If you acknowledge him, he will call. When you call on him, he will answer you. He will be with you in your trouble. He will deliver you and honor you. Listen, how about he said, I'm going to deliver him and honor him. That's worth turning around. That's worth going back. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Father, for the turnaround. I thank you, Father, for the ability to love again, Father God. I thank you for breaking off all of abandonment, rejection, shame, Father God. Things that have caused men and women, Father God, to feel unappreciated, to feel unloved now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Sharpen our discerners, Father God. Give us the eyes to be able to see what the enemy has been doing in our spouse's lives now in the name of Jesus. Even the things that they had dealt with in their past, Father God, to cause them, Father God, to not understand what love really is. I thank you, Father God, for sacrifices being made in the love, Father God, now in the name of Jesus, Father, that men are loving their wives as Christ loved the church, and women are honoring their husbands like never before, Father God. They're not letting their emotions and their feelings dictate how they love, when they love, and why they should respect and honor their spouses now in the name of Jesus. I declare that men, Father God, are understanding the ability to love their spouses, Father God, that they're willing to give up, Father God, sacrifices, Father God, their emotions and their feelings and the pains of the past, giving them up now in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that there's a refreshing and a resetting, rebooting, Father God, in the marriages, even in the conversation of friendships now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you're rekindling the, Father God, their friendship, their love for each other now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Father God, for you're bringing forth examples of how to love, Father God, people, Father God, that will be, that will help rescue, Father God, these men and these women, Father God, that have been in these dark places, that have been in suicidal things and suicidal mindset. But Father God, you're setting them free, Father God. Your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Father God, I'm declaring liberty over them, Father God, that they are set free and delivered, Father God, to be able to function and move and operate, Father God, in your calling now. Their assignments, Father God, will not be aborted, Father God, because they didn't understand how to love now. In the name of Jesus, you're rescuing them. You're rescuing them out of the pits of hell. You're rescuing them out of the caves that they have run into now. In the name of Jesus. So we're calling these men out of this cave. We're calling these women out of the caves now. In the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you're walking with them, that you're speaking with them. You're walking with them in their troubles now. In the name of Jesus, you're delivering them out of the troubles. Father God, that you're bringing them into a new place, Father God, a breakthrough and a breakout place now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I give you the honor and the glory, for this is truly the day that you have made, Father God. And I thank you, Father, that you have truly expressed the ability to love, that you have loved us. Every day that we wake up and open our eyes, you show us just how much you love us. Allow us to see another day that you have made. So, Father, we choose to rejoice and be glad. We choose to give you honor. We choose to acknowledge you today, Father God. Even in our hardest times, even in our hardest place, even in our darkest moments, Father God, that you allow us to open our eyes and see another day that you have made. So, Father, we don't take it for granted. And we say thank you. We thank you for loving us enough to send your only begotten Son. We thank you, Father, for Yeshua. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua. We thank you for the journey. We thank you for the crucifixion. We thank you for the raising up on the third day. We thank you, Father God, for the anointing that it was on his life, Father God. We thank you for the everlasting life, Father God, that we get through Jesus Christ now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the dominion. We thank you for the authority. We thank you for the power. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us dominion over heaven and earth. earth now in the name of Jesus. So Father, we walk in our dominion. We walk in our authority, Father God, and we decree and declare that these men and these women are being set free. We decree and declare that every darkened space, every dark cloud that has been sitting over them, that they're feeling like every day that is a dark day. Father God, let the light shine today. Let the light shine, Father God. Bring forth the individual, Father God, that will bring forth the light that's out of them, that'll bring men, women, and children out of dark places now. In the name of Jesus, out of dark traumas, Father God, that have been abused and physically, mentally, and verbally abused now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that the day is the day that they see the light. The day of the day is the scales are being removed off their eyes, Father God, that they will see the hope of their calling, that they will see, Father God, the light before them now in the name of Jesus. Let the light break forth now in the name of Jesus. Let the light break forth, Father God. Let them no longer sit in dark places. Let them no longer sit in depression and suicidal thoughts now in the name of Jesus. Father God, let them come out of them bedrooms, Father God, that has been sitting in the bed, laying in the bed because they've been depressed, because their spouse is gone. Their spouse is not talking to them. Their spouse is not being around them. Father God, I thank you that they find joy and happiness in you. Father God, let their joy be in you and not in man, Father God. Oh, I thank you, Father God, that they find a new joy and a new happiness now in the name of Jesus, Father God, a refreshing, a reset, a reboot, a re-energize now in the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you for that godly friend calling them now and bringing them out, pulling them out of the house now in the name of Jesus, speaking life into them, giving them another day, giving them an opportunity to live in the day that the Lord has made, allowing them to rejoice in the day that the Lord has made. Father God, let it be evident, Father God, for the testimonies that are come forth now in Jesus' name. Amen. I plead the blood of Jesus over this message. I bind backlash and retaliation and all spiritual warfare that tries to attack the people, Father God, and attack every person that is upon this line. I'm declaring, Father God, hey, there's a hedge of protection set around them that no weapon formed against them will be able to prosper. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Listen, share this with someone. Share this with someone. Listen. There are people out here, and I don't care, male, female, even children, that's in a place where they feel like they're not being loved, that no one is loving them, no one wants to be around them, and it's hard. It's hard when you feel like no one loves you. It's hard when people, they talk about you, but they don't want to show you no love. It's hard. It's hard being lonely. It's hard being that. So share this with someone today. Allow them to minister on this scripture. Allow God to minister through his word. His word is going to bring light. His word is the truth. Allow it to work. Share it with someone. Share it with someone. Hey, y'all have a blessed and a wonderful day. And remember, day by day, situation by situation, we get better. Amen. Have a great day.
Well, thank you for joining me today on the Priest, Prophet, and King podcast. I hope this message has inspired you to understand and walk in your biblical role of a PPK in your family and community. Men, if you need strategies to help you navigate through hard places in your life,
join me Monday and Wednesday at 8 a.m. for PPK podcast, The Making of a Kingdom Man,
where men from all over the world come to talk strategies with the Word of God being our foundation. You can go to our website, ppkglobal.org, for more information. If you need accountability, training, and mentoring, check out our King's Army, training men to walk in their divine position as heads of the family, God's way. Listen, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast of your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. I would love to hear from you, so please leave me a review and send me your thoughts and questions. You can also follow me on Facebook, PPK, Priest, Prophet, and King, IG, PPK Global, Spotify, Apple Music for more updates and information. I will be back next week with more insight into the recipe of a kingdom man. Until then, remember, day by day, situation by situation, we have to get better. I pray you continue to be blessed in your journey as a priest, prophet, and king. See you next week.